Good morning and greetings in the Lord's blessed name. A warm welcome to each one of us, and especially at least one family who have joined us from Melbourne here for the first time. So a warm welcome, and we trust that each of us will have a good time this morning in fellowship, please. And as Brother Harun has been telling us, the purpose of this meeting is threefold. First, as we have all joined together on a Saturday morning, to join our dear ones, our dear family here, Brother Vijay, Sister Jansi, and the two young ones, as they rejoice in owning this house, and also to stand, the second one, that as we stand with them as one, as they express their commitment in using this home for the Lord's work, and then most importantly, as we seek the Lord's mind and learn of Him as to what is required in serving Him as the children of God. So three things: to join Brother Vijay and family in thanksgiving, to stand as one with them as they make a commitment, and then to seek the Lord's mind concerning what He would like us to know if we desire to serve Him. So for this purpose, shall we turn our Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and a few verses, from verses 13 to 16, please. Matthew chapter 5, and verses 13 to 16. I shall read all of them for you. Beginning from verse 13, please. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trampled under the foot of men. Verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill, it cannot be hid. Verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a basket, but on a candlestick, that it gives light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Very clear and concise, isn't it? That's the Lord's mind concerning His children who want to serve Him faithfully. Our Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for this joyful time You have given us as we join together, Brother Vijay, Sister Jansi, and the two young ones. And we share their joy, Lord. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for the manifold blessings You have blessed them, and for the manifold blessings You continue to bless even us. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for gathering us this morning here. And as we bow our heads and our hearts, as we, O Lord, look into Your word, we ask of You that You will speak to us what You want us to hear. These words, O Lord, spoken by the Lord Himself, are beyond our capacity to comprehend many a time. We are unworthy and unfruitful people, O Lord, of low intellect, of low understanding. But again we ask of you that you will help us, that each of us may get something, O Lord, some encouragement, so that we can be better servants in the kingdom of the living God. Do help us, O Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Please look at verse 13 again, please. It reads like this. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor or taste, let us say, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer fit for anything except it be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. Now, in leading the disciples, in leading up to the commissioning of the disciples, how remarkable the Lord's burden is for the perishing souls, for the multitudes who were perishing at the time. Now we read like this in chapter 4, verse 13, please. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, and so on, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them that sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. So he is there among the multitudes, and he is the light which has sprung up in the region and shadow of death. And verse 17 tells us, from the time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Then look at verse 19, please. Immediately after that word of repentance, he is calling these young men. Verse 19. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He called these disciples, and they responded unto him. They left everything they had, and they separated themselves unto him and to his work. Now look at the chapter 5, beginning place. And, sorry, I'll read from verse 25, the previous chapter. And they followed him, great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him. So he left the disciples, and he left the multitudes, and he separated the disciples unto him, unto himself. And then in verse 2 we read like this, and he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying. So first there was a message of repentance. And then he called a few young men who responded, and he separated them unto the work of the gospel. And then he left the multitudes aside, and then he gathered his own people to himself. And then from verse 3 to 12, we hear he taught them, isn't it? He taught them the beatitudes required in his servants, willing to serve in the kingdom of God. Now what is a beatitude? We keep hearing this. The secular dictionary says it is the attitude of saintliness in a person. We don't get much out of it, isn't it? I believe beatitude, we can understand beatitude like this. A beatitude is the conduct and the character and the charity and the service and sacrifice required of all God's people who desire to serve him. A beatitude is the conduct and the character and the charity and the service and the sacrifice which is required when you and I are willing to serve God in His kingdom. Now this great truth applied to them, the disciples. And He taught them. And this great truth applies to us as He teaches us through the Word of God. Then what? Notice what He does next. Verse 13, please. He tells them, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth." Now salt is an essential ingredient, unique and unlike anything in the world. Salt is separate by itself. It is a required essential ingredient for many a reason. It is unique. There is nothing like salt in this world. Salt again is used as a preservative, isn't it? Mainly. It is used to preserve the dead. Please remember that. Salt is used to preserve the dead. We do not salt a living thing, but we salt a dead thing to keep it from rotting and from allowing that rot to spread aside. That's what you and I are in this world. Please remember that. Salt is used to apply to the dead and then to prevent it from rotting and to compel its rot not to spread. And then, what is the other reason of salt? Salt savors, it's there, isn't it? Salt savors or enriches our food when it is salt. No wonder our Indian food is so delicious, having abundance of salt, isn't it? Then again, there is another element of salt, isn't it? Salt is an essential thing. It has the life-keeping element flowing in our blood, which keeps us alive and from rotting and from decay. We hardly think about it. Salt is an element, essential element in the blood. It has life-keeping properties. It stops our flesh to decay. Now notice what the Lord Jesus Christ tells again. He tells them, "You are the salt of the earth." Or otherwise, let us say like this. He commands His disciples to be useful as the salt of the earth. That's our responsibility. He wants us to be as the salt of the earth so that we are able to salt the lives of our neighbors and friends and families and also the people in the fallen world. That's our responsibility, isn't it? He wants us to reach out to a society which is dying spiritually. Salt is mainly applied to the dead, we heard that. He wants us to reach out to a society which is dying spiritually and hates God. It was so in the time of Lord Jesus Christ. It is so at this time now. The society and the multitudes hate God. They are dying spiritually, if not already dead. And our responsibility to reach out to them. We are also called to demonstrate the goodness of God through our conduct and character and charity and service and sacrifice. That's our responsibility again. You are the salt of the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ challenges us this morning. We are asked to be the salt. It otherwise means that we have to be an example through our conduct. How we will live in this world. Through our character. What the Lord Jesus Christ has implanted in us. Through our charity. The exercise of our character in real life. Through our service. Reaching out and demonstrating to others what the Lord actually means. And then even sacrifice. Even being tormented and persecuted for what we stand for. And we are also called to be an example to the people. You are the salt of the world. We are called upon to be an example to the people who are rotting and who are already dead in this world. Then we are called to enrich their lives, isn't it? So the purpose of salt is to add taste to our food. As a salt, or a spiritual salt, we are called to enrich the lives of the people. And that means, again, giving time to others, opening our homes, sacrificing our time, our money, and even our comfort. As I was talking to Brother Vijay last week, I said, what do you want us to share? And what is on your mind? Brother Vijay said, our main motive of purchasing a place was that it should be large enough that it could be used for the purposes of the work of God in the area. That's a very good desire of any family who are willing to purchase the home or even willing to use their existing home for the work of God. And then we are also asked to keep witnessing the life-saving and the life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the salt, and He has given us His salt, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is our responsibility as the salt of the earth. Then look at verse 13 again, please. What does it tell us? But if the salt has lost its savor or taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? Is it possible for salt to lose its saltiness? Is it possible? Well, we have to believe, because the Lord Jesus Christ is saying so. That means salt can lose its saltiness. Salt does lose its saltiness. And we, faithful Christians, we likewise forget our calling and forego our godliness all the time. Salt does lose its saltiness. And you and I, when we are called the salt of the earth, we tend to forget our responsibility. We tend to set aside our godliness. We tend to forget our calling. And then we lose our saltiness, isn't it? And again, salt, how do you think salt loses its saltiness? Just take the example of mixing salt with water. What happens? It is a process of exchange. Salt, when mixed with water, it shares or gives up its saltiness to the water, and it gains the unsaltiness or the insipidity of the water to itself. It loses by exchange. We likewise lose our salt by exchanging with the world. And we gain the deadness of the world into our life. Does salt lose its saltiness? Yes, it does. How do we lose our salt or saltiness? By our association with the world at large. We try to give what we have, but more so, we gain the deadness of the world around into our lives. Again, Matthew 13, someone please. Verse 3, 7 and 22. What does the tell us? How can we lose our salt? Just remember that through the parable of the sower. Verse 3, someone please.
And He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow.
Verse 7.
And others fell among the thorns, and thorns came up and choked them out.
Verse 22.
And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful.
So how do we lose our saltiness? The cares of the world. These are the words of Lord Jesus Christ Himself, isn't it? The cares of the world, the riches of the world, let us be very careful. The attractions of the world, the lust of the world, and even the pride of our achievements. They all mislead us to lose our spiritual salt. Sadly, according to the word of God, what we are hearing, that saltiness or our salt can never be restored in our life. Let us be very careful, please. In the book of Revelation 3, that state otherwise is called as 3:16, as being lukewarm, neither cold or hot. Now again, I think this is Brother Campbell Morgan has said that. If you're not faithful in salting the world will instead rot us. How true, isn't it? If we do not share our salt, spiritual salt, with the world will instead rot us. Then look at verse 13, please. What does it tell us? It is no longer good for anything except it be cast away and trampled under the foot of men. Terrible warning, isn't it? It is not fit or good for anything except it is discarded, and not only that, that it be trampled under the foot of men. It is neither good for the land. It destroys everything. It is neither good for the dunghill. It destroys the bacteria which decomposes the dung on the dunghill. That is how bad salt is. Just look at the former Christian, the churches. What happened to them? Where are they? We find so many church buildings scattered around Sydney. What happened to them? They are being trampled under the foot of men. And why is that? It is because of the evil and the wickedness of God people that God has allowed His places, places used for His work, to be trampled under the foot of men. A former arch in a former cathedral in Constantinople, modern-day Istanbul, it seems the arch reads like this: Thy kingdom, O Christ, is an everlasting kingdom. In a cathedral in Istanbul, it reads like this. Above it, there is a huge placard which also reads like this: There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the only prophet. What has happened to it? Cast away and trampled under the foot of men. The failure of the Christian has made God ineffective in our societies. Have you heard any of your colleagues talking to you? They've talked to me so many times. How many of them mock the Christian God, the Christian faith, the Christian Bible, the Christian gospel? How many of them walk? And they immediately point out to high Christian characters who have fallen because of the lust of the flesh. Looking at them, God, a living God, is mocked. Salt, which has lost its saltiness, is cast away and fit for nothing and trampled under the foot of men. That can be the condition of our own life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 12, please. Anyone? What does Apostle tell us? Apostle Paul warn us about.
Therefore, letting good things stand, take heed that he does not fall.
The warning is very clear, isn't it? Anyone who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Now look at verse 14 to 16, please. It reads like this: You are the light of the world. A light that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a basket, but on a candlestick, that it gives light unto all that are in the house. let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Very clear, isn't it? Simple English, we all can understand that. The Lord said, initially he said earlier, you are the salt of the earth. And now he is telling us, you are the light of the world. What kind of light is it? You are the light of the world. What kind of light is it? The light Lord Jesus Christ is talking about is not our own light. It does not originate in us. The light does not come out of us. We don't have light at all in our life. We are of darkness, as the Word of God tells us. But the light Lord Jesus Christ is talking about is the light derived of God, who shines his light on all those who truly believe on him. That's the light Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. It is not our intellect, our wisdom. It is not the radiance which can be on some faces. It is the light which is derived from God himself and planted in people who truly believe on him and who trust in him and receive him as Savior and God. John 1:4, please. It reads like this: in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5: and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it, could not withstand it. Verse 9, please. John chapter 1, verse 9. Anyone?
There was a true light which, coming into the world, enlightens every man.
You see, he was the true light. That was the true light which did light every man that has come into the world. John 8, 12, please.
Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life.
And Matthew 4, 16, which we were just reading before, the people that sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up. So the light that is given us, the light Lord Jesus talking about, you are the light of the world, is none else but the Lord Jesus who has come into our hearts and he illuminates and lightens our life, isn't it? He is the light, we've just read. And we all gather a light from him. He alone is the true light. He alone is the spotless one. He alone is the pure one. And he alone can be or is the perfect pattern of a conduct and character, a service. So when the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about, you are the light of the world, he's talking about himself, that he ought to become the pattern of a life. For he alone is the pattern of a life. His love, his conduct, his character, his service, and even his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. But the truth again is, if there is anyone who's not born again, that could be a silly question, but again we are asked to do that. If there is anyone here who's not born again, who's not truly born again, the truth is, we can only radiate the light when we know him and when he knows us. Let us be very clear about it. We can never be the light the Lord Jesus is asking us to be unless we know him and unless he knows us. We have just read before. Have you realized that Lord Jesus Christ only called his disciples the light of the world? He did not call the multitudes the light of the world. He separated them. The truth is very clear. We can only be the light when we know Him and He knows us. And to know Jesus is to truly repent of our sinning. I'm using that word truly, please. To know the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior is to truly repent of our sinning. Believe on Him and accept Him as a Lord and Savior. And then, as the disciples have done, separate our lives unto Him and for His cause. We always talk about the first three. We never speak about the separation which the Lord demands of His people, isn't it? The disciples, we have been said, come, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And what is it said about the disciples? The response was, they straightaway left their nets and they followed Him. They left their nets, they separated themselves unto their past life and they followed Him. Notice the sequence of His teaching, please. Matthew 4:17. We read that, so we're not going to read it again. First, it was the requirement of repentance in a person's life, isn't it? Then again, 19:20. He calls them. And their response was, they separated themselves unto Him. And then again, verse 3-12. He taught them. He taught them the Beatitudes, as we were talking about. And now coming to verses 13-16, now He calls them, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. That is the only sequence which God requires in us. We have to repent of our sins. We have to separate and follow Him. We have to learn of Him. And then you and I can be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Ephesians 5:8, please. Anyone quick? I'm going to quickly close.
For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
And please go on.
For the fruit of the light comes now on goodness and righteousness and truth.
Thank you. Thank you. So, very clear, isn't it? You were sometimes darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. This is what the Lord has done in our lives. And Apostle Paul doesn't end there as a good teacher, isn't it? So you now walk as the children of light in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's a responsibility. Again, 1 John 5:1-5-7, please.
This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Very clear, isn't it? This is the full package of the gospel. This is the message we have heard of Him. And this is the message we declare unto you. These are not the words of Apostle John. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. In Him there is no darkness at all. So in us, can there be darkness at all? If we say we have fellowship with Him, we all do claim that, isn't it? If we say we have fellowship with Him and continue to walk in darkness, we lie, we do not have the truth of God in us. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Not between Apostle John and us, between the living God and ourselves. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, He cleanses us from all sin. Now lastly, please. Again, look at verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and they may glorify God. Glorify your Father who is in heaven. First it was, you are the salt of the earth, which requires moral purity, conduct, charity and service in us. If you and I can claim as the salt of the earth, these are a requirement. Moral purity, conduct, that walk which is in us, and then the service. Whereas, you are the light speaks about something different, isn't it? It speaks about divine illumination which is only of God. And He shines that word of truth in our hearts. Salt, again, is concerned with death and decay and rotting, isn't it? And light is concerned with the darkness of the world. So as salt, we have a responsibility. As the light of the world, we have a responsibility. And what is that light? What is that responsibility we have? Lord Jesus tells us here, 16. Can you read? Look at your Bible, please. What does it tell us? Verse 16 beginning. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So I'll come straight to the point. How do you think we can shine the light that is within us? How may we do it? The answer is found in verses 14 and 15 again, please. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. A candle is not put under a basket, but on a candlestick, that it may give light to everyone in the house. Again, the hill speaks of the fallen world, isn't it? The light on a hill reaches out to a vast, far expanse, a large territory, the multitudes. The hill speaks of a fallen world, and as the light of the world, you and I are commissioned to take the message of the gospel to the fallen world of men and women. That's a responsibility. As salt, we are expected to live. As light, we are the bearers of the gospel of Christ Jesus, our Lord. We are called upon. The hill speaks of the multitude, whereas again, the candle speaks about our own homes, isn't it? Do you see that? A hill is concerned about the vast multitudes, our responsibility. But now talking about the candle, it speaks of our homes, and we are asked to keep the lamp of Jesus burning in our homes, among our families, among our friends, among our neighbors, all along witnessing the love of Lord Jesus Christ unto them. Now Brother Vijay said, I want to open my home for the work of the Lord. And I do believe that this is in his heart, that he would like to witness the love of God to the neighbors around. That he would like to keep the lamp of Jesus burning in his own home, that he's able to share with his wife and with his children, with his extended family. That probably is his desire. That can be our desire too. If not, again, lastly, I'm coming very close, please. I'm close. If not, I think this is said by Brother Alexander McLaren. No man lights a candle and puts it under the basket. No man lights a candle and hides it under the basket. But if he does, either the basket will put out the lamp, or the candle will burn the basket. True, isn't it? So there is an encouragement to do it, and there is a warning. You and I are not responsible in sharing the word of God. We are not faithful. We are not loyal. There is a warning that light will burn the basket or will destroy us. And look at verse 16, please. What does it tell us? That men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Very simple, isn't it? They may see our good works, not us. And the purpose is that they may glorify our Father which is in heaven. May the Lord may the world see God and the knowledge of the love of God through our lives and through the message we have in us. Also seeing our conduct and character and service, that they may come and that they may receive the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the earth. Let your light so shine that men may see and glorify our God, our Heavenly Father. Amen. May the Lord bless his words.